Blog Talk Radio.
I was a hard drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man. And the man said, how do we do?
Out there. This is Ryan.
This is Angie.
And we are here with RJ. We're coming at you live from the Freaking Awesome Studio, also known as our house. I'll tell you what, back in the day when I first started doing this show, I would drink a can of Blue Monster to get pumped up to do the show. Now I am drinking warm tea. That shows how far I've come or fallen when it comes.
Gracefully aged.
Exactly. A lot has changed in almost 5 years. But we're having some technical difficulties here. I'm trying to do something right quick here. Got
to
send Holly.
I'm
fixing to send Holly an email, invite her to come on the show. Let's see here. Paste. Hopefully it'll work. Hopefully she will get that email I done sent her, and she will respond like.
She'll jump right on.
She'll jump right on. See, I'm trying to talk like Holly here, so she'll understand what I'm saying. I'm fixing to send you an email, Holly. Here we go.
It's done been sent.
It's done been sent. Okay. Now, we had a good weekend up here, actually. We had our flag event at the cabin. We actually had a lady come out to the event who knew Melissa, and it was great being able to speak with her. If you guys want to know more about who Melissa is, check out the Cabin on 360 Facebook page. We were able to raise funds to buy the flags to place out at Evergreen Cemetery in a few weeks on November 10th. Let's see, quick note, we've got the Ghost Walk in Hanover walking tour over at Hanover Tavern. It starts on Sunday and goes through Tuesday. Of course, if you don't live in Virginia or near me, Angie and I, any of this news won't make a damn bit of difference to you, but I gotta say it. It's a guided tour of the tavern along with the courthouse and the old stone jail. So, and I've gotten some pretty damn good EVPs from all three places. There will be members of Transcend and Commonwealth Creatures of the Paranormal on hand to recount some of the most interesting paranormal experiences at the tavern. So, if you want to come out, join us for a walking tour and hear some of our stories, come out next Sunday through Tuesday. We'll be out there. I should be hanging out in the jail. I think that's where they're going to stick me.
It'll be a good time.
Good times had by all. Looks to me like Holly done got her email.
Yay.
So, we can go ahead and take a quick sip of my tea here. And I used to drink coffee, and I was thinking, you know what? I'm tired.
Too, like it was
like a long time
8 years ago. Like last week, I drank coffee.
Back in my day, you drink coffee the last week. So we got Holly on the line. We go my quick introduction. I actually wrote shit out here tonight, guys. I'm actually got a script here, so
you know you're having Holly on the show, right?
I know. I'm getting
Holly
my structured.
Like
I'm getting my structured shit out of the way.
Door.
You shut yourself out the way before she comes on. I done did a good job here.
I done it.
Let's talk about our guest tonight. I first talked with Holly Mullins back when she was a member of Black Mountain Paranormal Society. I actually watched one of her videos on YouTube today,
mm-hmm.
one of her investigation videos. It was fun. And I was just pretty much starting out as a host of the show. I'd gone through, like, I guess, two different co-hosts in like 4 months. They're like, one would watch TV while she was hosting the show. I'm like, can you turn the TV on? TV down, please? Oh, I'm sorry. Other one just come on the show and didn't tell me about these. She didn't fucking show up. Like a month. And it's every Monday. I'll be there. Nope.
She was there in spirit.
Isn't that
what this
yeah.
is all about?
No, it's not. It's really not. Maybe I'll host the show in spirit and see what happens. It'd be really
spirit of the paranormal.
It'll be a very boring show. But I had her on the show with the Black Mountain Paranormal Society. Something clicked with us, and I decided to be a host on the show. see, is that RJ knows what's up. So Holly and I have definitely been through a lot together. She's one of my dearest friends, and. Oh, well, I'd like to welcome her back to the show. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness. See, I'm actually different. I did work. I actually prepared for this shit.
I'm surprised. I'm so freaking proud of you right now, dude. Oh, my God. That was beautiful,
by
the way.
It took me like 10 minutes. Do what?
That was very beautiful. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm pretty much a wordsmith now. It's like I'm a poet.
How are you guys?
Oh.
We're good. Pretty good.
RJ's good, too. He's hanging out with us. How are you doing?
I am good. Quite busy and wore out, but I'm recovering from the weekend and doing good. I can't complain.
Yeah, I heard you had a birthday on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I wish you a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Aw, thank you guys. I love you.
You still 25?
Yeah, fuck yeah, I am. I'll always be 25.
Here we go. Yep, I'm holding on to 35 for dear life. That's for damn sure.
And I'm not the only one with a birthday. Well, mine's passed, but you have one.
Couple of days.
Yeah, mine's on Thursday, so I can get drunk.
Good luck.
Yeah, not anymore. I'm over here drinking tea, and I'm telling you, used to like get all fucked up on Monster and stuff, getting all pumped up, and I'm like, oh, I'll just drink some Sleepy Time, drink some tea.
Yeah, you got a little one now, so I'm sure it's hard to get by with that anymore.
No, yeah, getting drunk is not in my wheelhouse anymore, and I'm not sad about that at all, because yeah, it's just not a thing for me to do anymore. That's a young person's game.
Babies crying and hangovers don't mix.
They don't mix.
They don't mix.
And you know that one day I got drunk and I had the worst hangover, it would be the day that he decided to just be the worst person ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I mean, you know, my boys are pretty much taking care of themselves now, but I'm telling you what, the older I get, the more I realize that maybe I shouldn't drink so much when I do.
Yeah.
Wasn't such a great idea.
The next day is always like, yeah, this wasn't the best plan. It seems such a good idea when you're out and you're like, whoa.
Yeah. I'm in the moment. Woo, let's have it.
Absolutely. In the damn moment, I'm running around and I'm like being happy and stupid. And I give like, it was crazy because we were at Helheim and Whistle, and me and Missy decided, screw it. We're getting drunk tonight. And it was my birthday. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna do it, and I did.
What's your birthday?
And
say shit, you're gonna get drunk. Get drunk on your birthday.
Exactly. So what I ended up doing is I get drunk and I run around and give everybody free psychic reading. So it was great. I made a guy cry. So if you can make someone cry, fuck yeah, it's a good night.
Were they good tears, yeah. Or were they like, oh my god, tears?
That would be me.
Oh my god,
well,
what's wrong with me?
Well, it was kind of like, okay, I'm drunk and all my inhibitions are gone, and you know, I'm just running around, people are talking to me, and I'm like, by the way, so we were standing in a group of people, and I looked at them out of the blue, because I was talking to somebody else. I said, oh, by the way, your grandmother's right beside you, and she's saying that she loves you, and he just got so pale-faced, and I, you know, of course I had to hug him, because anytime someone does that and they get emotional on me, I want to go
yeah.
hug them. And he, I didn't know it, but his grandmother had passed last month, so it meant a big deal for him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I can see why that would be a big deal. Probably like the first time he's been out, too. You know,
right, well,
it probably made him feel
like,
really good to hear that.
Like, here's this little drunk, you know, woman running around giving random readings, but I had met him before.
Right,
at
you could do a lot worse things when you're drunk. You know?
Yeah. Trust me.
I mean, you could be flashing people. You're just giving psychic readings. So, I mean, that's pretty.
Yeah. We call
useful,
it the,
at least it's useful.
Yeah, Missy calls that the spiritual nipple.
There it is.
Like a happy ending.
There it is.
Exactly. You got to end.
So, you're doing a lot with your healing and stuff. Let's go back to the start. When did you first discover you had healing abilities?
Well, I mean, you pretty much know my story and everything, but I started having out-of-body experiences and stuff like that when I was about 16, and at that moment, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what was happening, because it was just very sporadic, and when it would happen, I just thought there was something wrong with me, and it really hit me when I was pregnant with Jonah, which is my youngest, in 2006, when my out-of-body experiences went to the extreme, and I started hearing, seeing, and experiencing all kinds of different things. And from that, I'm going to do a long story short kind of deal, because I've seen a lot of things, and it kind of threw me into paranormal research, where I felt like I had gained enough knowledge from my own research and experiences that I wanted to start a paranormal team and help other people. And that came Black Mountain Paranormal Society. But I always feel like and, you know, most people agree, is that we are led to the paranormal for a reason. And for me, it was my path to lead into the healing. And when I realized that I was gifted, or opened up to my gifts, I started kind of meditating and things like that, and become Hot Hands Holly, which we is a running joke for everybody. Yeah. And it's funny because you don't think that you could possibly be gifted, and you know, you're taught that only certain people have gifts and things like that. But I started to realize quickly that I was different, that I was tuning into my abilities, and that I was indeed a healer, which at first I was like, I work with dead people. I don't want to work with living people. They're assholes. And here I am. So that's a long-ass story, very, very short, because there's a lot to tell in between. But I don't regret it, because I know, like, my past now, looking back, everything that I've been through and went through in the spiritual aspect and paranormal aspect and hell, life in general, it all came up to this. And I'm always growing, and I think we're always learning. So it's a beautiful thing, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to grow. Every day you're growing spiritually, because there's always something new to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been an amazing ride, and it's still amazing. It's just getting better. It's just I'm meeting new people all the time, and just touching people, and literally touching people. just being able to reach out and help people, and to get to talk about my experiences, and getting to talk about my views and how I feel about certain subjects of the paranormal and, you know, spiritual metaphysical community, because there's a lot of information that we still haven't tapped into, and a lot of different ways of not only healing but reading.
Now, I know you said that you kind of discovered your abilities when you were pregnant. The other times that you were pregnant, did you notice an increase in your abilities at all? I've always kind of wondered about that.
I didn't, actually. That's what kind of alarmed me, because the things that I was experiencing was things at the time I thought was bed shaking. But, and then I thought, well, maybe I'm having seizures at night, at certain times at night or something. I don't know. Yeah. And I'm like, well, what's this? And then it got to where I heard someone call my name, and it was night after night. It was like three nights in a row. And at the time I thought it was my ex, and I would holler at him because I was upstairs. And then I thought the house was haunted because we lived on a military base. And, you know, all these things went through my head of what in the hell is going on with me. And then after I had them, it died down a lot. But I would see these lights in my room with me, and then my bed would start shaking. And then, you know, after Jonah was probably about seven, eight months, and we was living in an apartment off base. And then I had one of my more prominent experiences that started me to go, holy hell, this ain't normal, and what's wrong with me, and what the hell's happening to me, what kind of experiences are these, because I was pretty sure that I had just seen the damn devil himself or something, you know. And I'm not even religious, I mean, which everybody knows that now, but, you know, when you're trying to figure out who you are spiritually and the way that you're raised, and it's like, what is this? Is this negative? Because it's different. So things that we view that look different and feel different than to us, we automatically assume that it's negative. And so I woke up in the middle of the night, and, well, I thought I woke up. The way that out-of-body experiences work is, you know, your physical body's asleep, but your conscious body is aware. And so I thought I had woke up, and there was a man walking toward me, and he wasn't human. I want to say that he was on his own dimension, and I just happened to be the spirit in his. So, and it's a good way to think about it, and that's how I explain it to people, and it's a good way to think of the way that we see spirits on our dimension, our physical realm.
Yeah.
Because think about it. I mean, I was there, and then, you know, I will remember it till the day I die, but he didn't even know I was there, but I knew he was there. And so I was on his plane of existence. So that makes it cool, and it makes it, you know, I like to talk about it and make people realize, especially in the paranormal field, the people who are out seeking, is that sometimes that you have to go inward inside yourself and go into more into the metaphysical and research from a spiritual point of view, and it will make more sense to you. But a lot of people want that physical evidence, and a lot of people want that validation. And sometimes the way to get that validation is through yourself.
Yeah.
You were talking earlier about discovering who you were, or your ability. How did you go about discovering that? What is there, like, meditations, or how did you discover what, you know, what abilities you actually had?
Well, when I started meditating, it was right before I started meditating. I would be, actually, me and Ryan would have our shows late at night, and after the shows, I was wired up. So I would just sit there and listen to music through the headphones, and then the music sometimes would just stop, and I wouldn't realize it because I'd sit in there on Facebook and stuff like that, and I would just start hearing voices, and I would hear music sometimes, and the voices, I couldn't make out what they were saying. It was like almost like they was outside of my window in my house. So my first reaction to that is just to go look around the house and see where it's coming from. Of course, there was nowhere it was coming from, and you know, I even remember back before I was, well, actually, kind of think about it, Ann, you made me think of something. I was pregnant with Noah when I had an experience, and it wasn't major, but I was hearing music playing, and I couldn't figure out where it was coming from in the house or outside the house, and it was nowhere to be found except for in my damn head. So there you go. It's wild because, you know, we talk about how spirits communicate with us through music too. You know, they like songs. So psychically, when you start picking up information, you might hear this song playing, and it sounds like it was playing as clear as day, either outside the house or inside the house. And it was like 2 or 3 in the morning. I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. But anyway, like that's how I started. And I was under the impression at that time, because I honestly didn't know, I wasn't educated, that, you know, that's clairaudience, where we hear. And I knew I had some other abilities, like, you know, being able to pick up information by just talking to someone, because that is an investigator. Especially going into the residential cases, I was in charge of taking down all the information, interviewing people. And as I started doing that, information would start to come to me. So, and I didn't realize it was wild, and I still am like that. I'm just like, whoa, are you kidding me? You know, and I guess that keeps us humble and keeps us, you know, on the straight path of no one is, I'm not better than anyone else, and no one is better than me. We're all students, and we're all, you know, teachers in some aspects, but meditation really helped, because, and now I have a whole different view of meditation and how it works with us, is how we can go within ourselves to be able to go to our sacred space in meditation, to be able to grow and to learn more psychically, because we are spiritual beings in a physical vessel. And initially, that's what we are supposed to do, is learn from that space within ourselves.
I'm still trying to meditate myself. I meditate myself all night long, baby.
Woo! Meditate.
But yeah,
I'm slacking.
I get my guided meditations. I'm trying to get to that level.
No,
where,
it ain't,
you know,
easy. You know, and that's what I tell people. A lot of people have asked me and come to me about meditation or what they can do to help with their abilities and grow spiritually and be more open. And, you know, meditation is a big-ass part of it. But the problem is people are – I don't want to say people are meditating wrong, because everybody has their own way of meditation to help calm themselves and bring them down to zen. But there's also the type of meditation you go to learn from. So I think that's something to look at. Meditation's not easy. I don't meditate all the time. When I was first opening up, like, it was wild. You know, the second time I meditated, my hands started heating up. So I didn't know what the hell was going on. So it's all about bringing your levels down and paying attention to what's around you, not just physically, but spiritually. So it makes you look at things and hear things and see things that you usually wouldn't, and not so much physically but spiritually, because you are in that zone. Your physical body is, you know, nice and comfy, and you're starting to get deep down, and you just start searching within yourself. And I don't think people realize that's what they're doing. And, you know, that's something that I work on through healing too, my healing sessions. And it's just wild because, like I said, it's always growing for me. I'm always learning new things, and spirit's always guiding me in different directions with my healing. And I've been doing a lot of hands-on healing lately. I feel like these churchgoers, man. I'm just going to lay my hands on you. No, but
there we go. There we go.
Which I never thought in the million years I would say that, because I'm like, you know, the faith healers. And I'm not a faith healer. I don't, you know, put myself in a category like that. I'm a natural healer. Whatever comes. But I enjoy it because, you know, it's just like being able to investigate someone's house and be able to give them closure. So the same kind of validation and just feeling of being able to help people.
But when you do you heal someone like that, don't you have faith in yourself that you can heal someone like that? So you do have faith.
Yeah.
This is more in yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I have this ability.
Right. You have to have confidence in yourself, but more than that, you have to believe in what spirit's doing for you, because at the end of it, we are vessels for that energy, that healing energy, and we just got to learn how to control it and be able to know how to use it. And I'm telling you, when I say spirit's the best teacher, and you know, when people hear me talk about spirit, you know, take it how you want, but spirit to me is God, or, you know, whoever you worship or believe in. Because Ron and Angie know that I'm a very spiritual person. I don't do religion. It's too confining for me and controlling for me. And I feel like that as spiritual beings, we're supposed to learn this way, not have someone to tell us what to believe in, but to find it for ourselves. If that's God, you can find God within yourself, and you can find God anywhere. So it's just a relationship between you and that higher level being.
The world is our church.
My bedroom's the church.
There we go.
I'm sorry. I had to say that. I was all serious for a moment.
Can't be too serious.
Nah.
No, it's a freaking awesome paranormal show. We couldn't be damn too serious.
Hell yeah. I mean, shoot, we've been talking about woodburger facials. I remember having...
Oh, my God. Yeah, I can't even talk.
God, we were... What were we talking about? I didn't know what a woodburger was. I thought it was like a... It's like a Bigfoot, isn't it?
It is. Finding Bigfoot come in here at High Knob. It's one of the mountains here, and done an episode, and nobody around here knew they called it a woodbugger. And I guess it's just a certain part of the mountain, because it goes into a different county. And when they come and said it was a woodbugger, we was like, what the hell? So people started like looking up the urban term of a woodbugger, and it's dried up jizz. So we went with it, and we had fun with it. It was funny. I think I even made a graphic. It said wood booger facials. And yeah, because the reason we got into that is because we were talking about Asians, how they look so young and stuff like that. They actually use jizz on their face.
Yeah. They had the special moisturizing cream. They had wood booger facials.
Exactly.
And they make them look younger.
Exactly.
We had an argument about... We had an argument between what a moose knuckle and a camel toe.
Oh.
Yeah, Misty's still like, she's funny, because Misty still gets confused on which one's which. And Ashley, it's so hilarious. Oh my God, I could talk about the funniest shit that's been happening lately. It's just been crazy, the stories I could tell.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet all the Southern Gypsies hanging out.
You guys have to have like the best time ever. I'm a little jealous. I see the pictures and I'm just like, that has got to be so much fun.
Oh my God.
So much fun.
What y'all don't see is what happens every time we go out, every weekend, and the things that we encounter, and the people, and just the shit that we get ourselves into. And it's just we couldn't make this shit up. Honestly, I mean, to be honest, we should just write a book about it because it's just no one would believe it.
I mean, you probably
it.
Should.
Yeah, no one would believe the shit we get ourselves into. It's quite crazy. You know, Misty, I'll tell you this one. It was, you know, at the time we all was like, what the fuck is this? And I'm going to kill you, Misty. And we had went to Iowa and we went to a schoolhouse out there. And we were messing around in the gym locker. And we all took like a shower because it was like, you know, cool. It's back in the day. We never took showers in gym class because we fat and, you know, all the preppy girls. But, you know how it goes. But anyway, so we all decided we was going to take showers. Except for Ashley. So she ended up taking pictures of us in the shower, wrapped around the curtains and stuff like that. Well, on our way back from Iowa, Missy got Ashley's phone and said, I'm going to send these pictures to you in text, Holly. I said, okay. Well, she had Kelly's old phone number in there, which is no longer Kelly's phone number, in a group chat, in the group text, and sent it out. So, and that phone number has been reused by apparently somebody local here that I don't know and I don't want to know, but he has all our information. So she sends it, and Ashley's driving, and she gets this text back, you know, you nasty fat bitches. And Ashley takes the phone herself to call this man and say, she called the man and said, I know you got them pictures, and I apologize for that. My sister sent them accidentally, but you have no right to talk about my friend like that. At the time, we were all like, what the fuck's going on? My nudes are out there. Oh, my God, I'm going to die. And then afterwards, a few hours down the road, we're all laughing at it because here's Ashley calling up this guy saying, quit being mean to my friend. You won't never receive any more texts from me. You know, it's like, what the fuck? It was hilarious.
That's a friend right there.
That's friendship right there.
Right?
But this is another cool story, you guys.
Oh, my God,
just like,
it was
the time
wonderful.
In Iowa we took nudes in a shower.
Yeah.
Random
It was bad. So we ain't never letting Misty get a hold of Ashley's phone to send me pictures ever again.
No.
But,
and, you know, I know this guy that received these poor pictures was local. And, you know, the best part about it is one of the pictures was us sitting in front of our Southern Gypsy sign with a phone number and information. Woo! So that made it even better.
There you go. I was thinking of, like, you know, living in, like, a small town environment. Do people around your, you know, area know what you do, or do you keep that mostly to yourself?
No, they do. They knew. I mean, it's actually the more and more people is actually finding out about me. I work at a call center, so a lot of people from my old call, because I got transferred to a new call center. It's the same company, blah blah. But everybody knew at my old one, you know, what I did and things like that. And then it just started spreading over into the new, and then, you know, it spread throughout the community. And they pretty much everybody knows in my little community. And then at my workplace, it's, you know, a lot of people know about what I do, and I get questioned a lot. And, you know, people are curious and want to know things, and they're kind of backward, so they ask stupid questions, but I like it because it's educating people. I had this one guy's like, you know, you're going to give me the lottery numbers, you know,
well,
he asked me.
Yeah.
Right. One of the guys asked me to
share them.
Yeah, about lottery numbers, I'm keeping them for myself.
To be, you know, cool. I'm not sharing those. I'm not splitting the reward.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's what I told him. I said, you know, if that was a fact, then I wouldn't be sitting here today talking to you. You know, one of the guys.
I knew the lottery every time.
Right, one of the guys at work today. He just looked at me and he said, "So, have you ever been touched by a ghost?" I'm like, he was like, "Cause if I was a ghost, I'd just go around grabbing women all the time." And you know, it was just funny.
That's what everyone
thinks. I don't know, people. Yeah, people are intrigued by it, and I'm very humbled by it, too, because a lot of people come to me for advice, and a lot of people come to me for their ailments. You know, some of them have a headache, and they say, Holly, will you help me out? And, of course, you know, here I am in the middle of my job, and I've got my hands on people in the middle of the call floor. You know, it just happens. But And you know what? I can say that I'm very grateful for that, because I do live in a very small town, and I'm in the Bible Belt community where there's not a lot of diversity in religions. And, you know, there's a lot of ignorance too, but I can say without, hesitation that I'm pretty much accepted, and the ones that I'm not accepted by, I never hear from them. So, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, I know that it takes a lot, but basically places like that to be open to stuff like that. What do you think has been the reason why people are more accepting of people that are, I guess, have different views than them?
Well, you know, I don't think it's so much of that. I think people that meet me and don't know what I do are just generally attracted to me, and they know I'm friendly, and they like me as a person because I'm, you know, I cut up with them and I'm nice, I'm friendly, right? And then afterwards they find out what I do. So it's kind of like I lubed them up with my niceness and said, hey, I'm a psychic. And I just smile at them and they're like, oh,
surprise.
Cool, you're a cool person though. So that works.
Coming out the closet,
you know?
So to speak.
Yeah. And, you know, people's asked me before is like, you know, how are you so open about what you do and things like that? And I've came to learn that you have to be confident in yourself. You can't be one of these people that sit back and go, them Christians, I'm going to sit in my corner and point fingers. And you're just as bad as them if you do that. And why not live your true life to what you're doing? Because if you're doing spiritual work fully and trying to accept the spiritual work, you ain't gonna give a shit what people think about you. You're just gonna go do it because that's your calling. So, you know, that's what I do. I'm like, here I am. If you don't like me, it's probably because you haven't been around me to get to know me as a person, because, you know, I never do anything to harm anybody or intentionally or say anything to hurt anybody, and I'm always trying to uplift other people, and, you know, that's who I am. And so a lot of people like to sit back and not be who they are because they have already put themselves in that category of being judged. So think of it that way.
Yeah.
It's not so much that you're going to be judged. You are going to be judged. People judge all the time, but that's their shit to deal with, not yours. That's their demons they're fighting. It's not yours. If you're confident in who you are, then you won't mind what people think about you.
You really can't escape people judging you. It's going to happen regardless of what you do.
Yeah, all the time. But you know what? People's opinions don't matter.
No.
What do you think about yourself?
Yeah, I got one. They got assholes, too. Right. I don't care about either one.
Yep.
It's about opinions, yeah. Assholes. I know there's a saying about
I'll
it.
I'll tell you what, you fart, I'm caring about your asshole.
Hey, my farts smell like roses.
It.
Really gross,
oh
stinky
God.
Roses, but...
Yeah.
It's so calm.
Oh my goodness. So I gotta ask, what is an intuitive healer?
So intuitive healer for me, you know, I thought about it for a long time because I'm like, well, you know what I do is I do healing, yes, I do energy work, things like that, but you know, I'm a very intuitive person and I do psychic and mediumship work too. And you know, that's the beautiful thing about people with psychic abilities is that, like I was stating earlier with that clairaudient, I thought I was just that, you know, but that's not true. Any psychic out there, you're not just stuck at being just a healer. So you're not just an energy worker. If you actually tune in to everything, then you embrace all kinds of different tools of use for psychic ability. So, you know, I don't set myself in a category of I am just this. So I chose intuitive healer because I'm very intuitive, and of course I embrace the healing path as a healer. And I also do with the hands-on healing and things like that. You know, that's a big part of it. But I also help other people too that might be in contact with attachments, things like that. So the negative aspect of what, you know, because, you know, there's positive and there's negative energy, and there's always going to be positive and negative energy. And some people need help with things like that because people do get attachments. It does happen. It's not quite as often as people think it is, just like quote unquote possession or demonic entities, quote unquote, because I don't really believe in that. I believe in negative and positive energy, and you can call it what you want to, but I choose not to give them a name. But you know, it's I'm always, like I said, it's always continuously growing, and I feel like an intuitive healer is my, that's my name, and that's what I do, and there's a lot of things that fall beneath that name.
Now,
a lot of job titles there.
Right, yeah, and you know, and spirit's always, like I said, spirit's always giving you new tools to mess around with, like, you know, lately I was never drawn to tarot cards. I'm still not drawn to tarot cards, but I do work with oracle cards. And I've actually, you know, started to embrace them some. I'm not like a huge, oh, I'm going to use oracle cards with every reading. I don't. I'm more of an energy filler, and I like to just let it come through, you know. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, people who use tarot and oracle cards, they're psychics, but that's their tool. It helps them connect to spirit easier because they have something to concentrate on. They have something to guide them. Because it's not about the meanings of them cards. It's what the meaning through spirit gives you for them cards. Yes, you know, all these cards have this book, and you can read that book and the meanings of them cards, but if you actually are tuning in with spirit and you're giving these psychic readings, you're going to see that card, and it's just going to start coming to you. And no matter what that book says, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. The books are there to give you a format of how to do a reading, but or what these meanings of the cards mean. But ultimately, it's what information spirit gives you.
Yeah. So, funny thing, like, and I know this, like, isn't about me at all, but the funny thing about tarot cards with me is that
mm-hmm.
I've always been drawn to them, like, since I was little, like, in my early teenage years.
Right.
When I got my first. And, like, I've always kind of just intuitively known what to do with them.
Yep.
Like, I was never taught or shown. It
right.
Just, I mean, and for lack of better words, it just came to me, and it was just natural for me.
Exactly. Yes.
And, but the weirdest thing is, and it's kind of like it stops me from doing it, every single deck of tarot cards I have ever gotten or that has been given to me, I have lost. Or it has never been a complete deck after my second or third reading because I've, like, a card has been lost. Or
wow.
One time I had a deck in my locker, a locked locker that no one had the combination to but me at my job, and that
uh-huh.
deck disappeared.
Wow.
So that made me take a great long hiatus from reading any cards.
All right.
So
I can understand
just,
that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really strange, but I love doing it. I enjoy doing it. It's just, it's strange. They all disappear or it's, you know, they lose, but you're right. It is just a tool, and it's a tool that I use very well. I just don't understand if I'm so drawn to it, why it disappears.
Right. No, I get it. And you know, the way that you put it is the way that I explain it to people is, you know, they are tools, but you ultimately let spirit guide you on how to use those tools, just like my healing with my hands. And I didn't know if I was doing it right. And that's something I reached out to anybody for help, because I had one person tell me that I was going to be leading my team as a medium, and I felt like my whole identity fell apart spiritually and everything, and I had to build myself together and figure out who I was as a person. And so I grabbed on to anything that I could get a hold of. The people that come into my life, I would listen, you know, I would take in things, because even if they weren't good for me, and a lot of the people that came into my life, I have nothing to do with anymore. But they did teach me things along that path. And spirit
mm-hmm.
ultimately too, because I mean, I remember, like I said, the first time that I removed an attachment from someone, I afterwards just sit there like, well, did I do that right? What in the fuck was I doing? You know? And then ultimately
yeah.
I learned I just have to let go and let spirit guide me, because that's what was happening. And it was a beautiful thing, because a lot of the things that was happening, I never knew about. I'm not a huge book person. I'm not a huge reader, because I have ADD. And it's really hard for me to sit down and concentrate. But when I do, if I can sit down and concentrate and have that time, I'll go all damn day doing stuff. Like, I used to make graphics
mm-hmm.
and stuff for everybody. And, man, I would just sit down all day long and do video editing. But I'm either end of the spectrum. You know, it's either I focus way, way too much and dive right into it, or I can't focus at all. So reading is a big deal for me. So the thing with me is, unless I was going through it, or unless it was in some way impacting me, that I wouldn't sit down and read information about it. I take everything with a grain of salt. But when you have them experiences, you start searching for information to see if this lines up or validates things that happened to you and it's happened to other people. So that's what I did. I just went and researched. I was like, what is this? It's like the first time I went to the Akashic Records, I was like, what the fuck? I knew in my mind, this is the Akashic Records, but what is all this that I just seen? And it made a lot of sense after I got to read and, you know, researching other people's experiences with the Akashic Records, and it was a lot like mine.
Yeah, you're kind of, I'm just like you in that respect. Like, when it comes to, like, not having a hard time concentrating on shit unless I'm really interested in it. It's like, I can't. It just kind of just goes, you know, right over my head or into one ear and out the other.
It does. It always has for me. Like, in school, you think I was sitting there. I was, like, a class kid, and you think I would take in all this knowledge. I didn't. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I was just sitting there, like, staring off in space. But you know, it comes along with the territory too. With people who are spiritually enlightened, is we have this issues of not being able to pay attention, or we want to multitask and do all kinds of things at once. And sometimes we're not the best at multitasking, but we definitely want to do it because we are so passionate about doing all these different things. And I still am. Like, I'm still, like, I have a book that I started, and I want to finish it, and I've said it in my mind. I'm like, okay, during the winter, I'm going to have a little bit of downtime, just a little bit, and I want to focus on getting that book written so I can, I can say, hey, I did this, I went through with this, because I feel like that for me, all the information is inside of me, and I already know what I want in this book. I just need to put it down. And a lot of people are like, well, you should do like the voice recorder thing and all that. I don't think I could do it. I don't think I would give myself time to do that. I just need to sit down one day and put on my headphones and just write away and just let it all flow out and get that book out, because the book's all about the things that I've learned along my path to help people grow and to control their abilities and the different types of abilities and different tools of helping you grow and to understand yourself as a spiritual being. And I think that if people could access this book, I feel like that it could give them a lot of more understanding on what they need to do as someone who is trying to grow spiritually. And, you know, being able to understand that there's certain things that we need to do with ourselves when we are open or empathic, and we need to control this, and we need to understand that you don't walk around, there's just this open lot of beaming light that you have to do certain things in order to walk through life without being bombarded by spirits, without being bombarded by energy. Like, so I'm very passionate about that, and I've always been, ever since I've learned what I have, and I'm still learning. So, but I definitely want to get that written, because I already have a second one in my head already. So,
yeah, I get to the first one first.
I know,
something like that would definitely come in handy for people, especially if people are constantly asking you the same questions over and over again.
Do.
About how to do this,
yeah.
How to do this. There, read this book. Here, right here. That way.
Exactly.
Have any questions? It's all right here, written.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
You can go back to it, too.
Yeah, and that's what's going to be in this book. It's all the questions that people ask me, the questions that I've asked myself and found with spirit. And so it's going to be like your how-to guide, you know, your self-taught guide of how to control and to grow your abilities.
Well, I miss you. I'll definitely get the book as long as you get an autographed copy.
Well, yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
That's what I need. Like to hear. You know, I'm always asking you questions about the spiritual stuff.
Yeah,
so
I don't mind at all.
You're like, read the damn book, Ryan. God.
No, I don't mind it at all. Sometimes I do get overwhelmed, and I just tell people, hey, it's going to take me a while to get back to you, messaging you back, because I don't think people realize, but I do work a full-time job, And, you know, I work nine to five, a job Monday through Friday. And, you know, I've got my boys. And then on the weekends, I travel almost every weekend. And by the time I get back home, it's Sunday late in the evening. I got to get ready for work, get the boys for school. And, you know, it's just continuous cycle. And I'm not, you know, at all going, oh, my God, this is just crazy life and I don't want to do it anymore. No, I love it. This is what I've been working for and this is what I love to do. So I'm not Debbie down on it, but it does take a lot of my time up. So it's hard for me to get back to people like I want to, or, you know, just to be able to sit down. But, you know, some people do take advantage of that. And we all know that as paranormal investigators too, because we have certain people who just want to sit and just talk to you and talk to you. And then when you come out as a psychic and, you know, they know that you're out there being doing what you're doing and things like that, they want to come at you more. And I love being able to guide people and help people. And, but there's just a limit for me to where I have to cut people off, because that's just too much time and energy for me to sit there on my phone all day and be able to talk someone through all, you know, all this information. So that's when the book comes in handy. You're right.
You have to know when enough is enough, when you've got to be like, pull the reins back and be like, all right, you know, I've said all I can say to you right now. Because people always think of new questions to ask, you know, but what about this? What about this? You know, it's just kind of like, all right, well, some things you got to discover on your own, I guess.
No, yeah, I do. And, you know, I don't, it's like, I'm not saying that if someone come to me, I'm going to ignore them. No, I message back anybody who messages me. But it's just, you know, there's a limit to the time that I can give back to you, because I need to take some time for myself. And,
exactly.
I've got to save my energy for myself and be able to gather myself back together and be able to work on myself too, because, you know, it's like I said, we're always students. We're always, you know, a teacher to someone. So I get it. And I absolutely love people to ask me questions. Like at work, I have people who, you know, come up to me continuously and they're like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to bombard you with questions. And I'm like, okay, it's okay. But you can definitely talk to me about it. And so, you know, they do. And then they'll just stand back from me and not say anything for a while. And then, you know, they want another question answered. And I'm like, sure, yeah, absolutely. Don't be afraid to come up to me. So it's pretty cool. And, you know, doing the call center work, I actually met a couple of people over the phone, because you can kind of feel people out when you're talking to them. They're pretty cool. And I just met a guy because, you know, we recently went to Florida and done an event in Florida. And I actually met a guy over the phone who doesn't have Facebook, by the way. And I asked him if he was an alien. He had to be an alien. He was actually an accountant.
I know.
But,
Same thing.
He was like, I'm a psychic too. And because I tell my customers, I'm like, I'm an intuitive healer. I travel a lot. And because they'll ask, you know, you get into full conversations with people when you're on the phone with them for a couple hours. So it's pretty cool though. I like it.
Well, I mean, if anyone would do well in a call center, that would be you. Because like you said before, people are attracted to you because I'm not being like sexually, I guess they are too, but I mean, just spiritually wise, you know, it's you have a very warm personality, because you don't know what you look like when you're on the phone, but you got that kind of down home, like, you know, honey child, country bumpkin shit going on here. You know, that's one of the reasons why I wanted you to be on the show with me back in the days, because I knew you had that ability to get people to open up. And, I guess, it definitely helps. It definitely helps out for sure.
It does. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of people do tell me, they're like, I just feel very drawn to you. And, like, you have this warm energy, and I'm like, yeah, a lot of people say that, you know, and that's very cool. I appreciate that, and I want to make everybody feel comfortable, and I think that's why it's for easy for me to be able to, and it makes me want to talk to more people about this stuff, because when I get up there and I'm speaking, it just flows out, and I get so excited sometimes my ADD takes over, and I start talking about, you know, a lot of different subjects in one, so I try to keep myself on track, but people who have kept things inside for so long that we haven't talked about because they're afraid that people are going to think they're crazy, or, you know, their belief systems are crazy, or, you know, the things you just don't talk about. And so when I get up there and I talk about it very confidently, they're like, wow, okay, I get this. Like, it makes, you know, that she has a lot of knowledge, and, you know, I'm just very drawn to her and her energy, because, you know, I don't sit up there and be boring. I usually make them laugh in between them. You know, it's always something stupid, because I'm definitely, anybody that knows me, I'm not serious all the time.
Nope. I mean, you're serious when you need to be, but, I mean,
I just, I mean, that's the fun part about it, is everywhere we go, even with the Southern Gypsies, we're always goofing off, we're always laughing, and people, even, you know, with all of us together, people will come up to us and go, I'm very drawn to your energy, y'all have the best energy ever, I just want to stay around you all day long, and we're like, that is awesome, because we want people to feel very, you know, like family, and just be able to let loose and have fun and be themselves without anybody sitting back going, oh, they're too loud, which we get that. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, there's some events people just sit back and look at us with evil eyes, but that's cool too, because I mean, we're not the ones who are being negative, we're being positive and trying to just raise that vibration, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, people can't deal with that. I mean, that's just the way you are, though. You know, you can't change who you are or to please other people.
No, and you can't. No, absolutely. There's just people who, I like to think of it as, a lot of people can't handle that energy, that high energy, because they're so low energy, and it kind of offends them. So.
Well, I guess that's true. A lot of times, people with low energy and then high energy get together. It's kind of like offsetting, you know.
It's very much offsetting. I mean, we definitely come across that. Not a lot, but quite often. And it's just, that's okay. That's cool too, because, I mean, you can't let other people's down, you know, lower energy affect your, like, buzz you got going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep on trucking, and just, you know, the people who are attracted to you and that just want to be around you and be your friend and just be able to talk to you and have a good time and smile and laugh, that's what it's all about, you know?
Exactly. Well, we're coming close to the end of the show here.
You're lying.
I know, it's 10, almost 10:30.
RJ is even crying.
He's
like,
all
no.
Sad.
Oh, I ain't even got to meet RJ yet.
Well, I know. We are definitely going to be out and about more next year when it comes to Caracons and stuff. Now we drove to Florida with him in the car, so I know we can drive 3 hours out to St. Albans at least for something, or I don't know. We'll make it out there to where you guys are sometime.
Yeah, we're going to have to do something soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We've got to mate him before he gets too big on us.
I know, right? We were about to come to Ferry, but it was just...
Oh, that was a bad weekend.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a constipation problem.
He was not a happy boy.
No.
Oh.
I was not a happy mama.
It was not.
Oh, I get it. I totally get it. I'm excited to see everybody. It's been a while since I've got to see Dennis and you guys and April and all them, because I know April, she couldn't make it out to Ferry Pond.
They was in Texas
now. Yeah, I know. I've seen
that.
Texas.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's wild. But, you know, I do want to say this because, you know, being the freaking awesome paranormal show, and you had your little speech that you put together, and I thought it was just wonderful. And it's a big deal for Ryan, that anybody that knows Ryan, because he is ADD. You know, it's been awesome. It's been awesome because I remember when Ryan was like, I done the show with the Black Mountain Paranormal Society, interviewed us, and he's like, hey, you want to, I was like, what the fuck, why they want me to do this for? And then after I started getting into it, I'm like, well, maybe I ain't so bad at this. But I will never forget Dennis saying, I know why they want her on the show. And then he actually said, I'm sorry, because I listened to you the first time that you talked. And then I was like, holy shit. Because he's like, oh, how she's got that accent and she's got blonde hair and big boobs. I was like, oh, thank you, Dennis.
Well, that didn't hurt, but, you know, I was able to be whole, you know, it was definitely because.
Right, yeah.
I was like, man, you can all talk to me like we're best friends or, you know, on our first show together. I'm like, well, this could probably work. This we maybe have, maybe be onto something here.
Fuck yeah, it worked. Look at us. I mean, you know, it's out of it came the Baby Vibe Radio Network, and although I don't have a lot of time for it, and then you put the full reins on it, which is awesome. You know, I still tell everybody about Vibe Radio Network, and I still have a show that I haven't done in a while, and I started back into it for a few weeks, and I was like, oh Lord, I just can't do it. But you know, it's here and there that I'll jump back on and have a show. And but you know, I still enjoy it. I love coming on to the podcast and talking to other people, and you know, it's just a lot of time like that I don't have to work on or tours mm-hmm. anymore, and I miss it. I miss everybody, but I know that you are
a lot on the Vibe Network.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
and you know, everybody
gets a chance to come on.
Yeah. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Good things has come out of the freaking awesome paranormal show.
It's absolutely just amazing to me what has come out of that show. And like you said, with the Vibe Network, we've been able to give other people an opportunity that we were given to host their own shows and meet new people and, you know, and just open themselves up to whatever comes next, you know. It's very,
absolutely.
Very humbling to be able to do that. You know,
and I was going to say, some of these hosts have been with us since day one, too. So it's been really cool. Like April, and we got Rodney.
Rodney, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's...
We've had hosts from England on the network. I mean, it's...
Yeah, absolutely.
Alex and Helena, I mean...
Yeah. And
definitely
then, you know, it's
cool.
Absolutely. I mean, as a friendship, me and Ron's been through a shitload. But you know, it's a beautiful thing. You know, years later, here we are, and we're still going strong. And Ron's got a baby.
I know. I think a lot of stuff has changed. Like, you know, I just wrote on the little speech here, like, we don't have to talk all the time.
Right.
You know, for
absolutely.
Us to still be close to each other.
No,
you know,
absolutely.
We kind of pick up where we left off. You know,
yeah.
And I may not message you all the time, and you know, only think of you know, on my mind at all because you think about you all the time. It's just, you know, we get busy with stuff and life gets in the way.
Yeah.
But when we do talk to each other, it's like, you know,
we didn't miss
nothing's
beat.
Changed.
Yeah, because
yeah,
nothing's changed,
yeah.
And that's beautiful. I mean, that's how real friendships are supposed to be and are. And
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We get. I mean, there's so much going on in all of our lives. It's just hard to be able to sit there and take time out to mention someone every day or every so often. But like you said, I mean, we don't miss a beat when we see each other, when we talk to each other. We're like, it's just like, you know, we talked to each other yesterday. So, I mean, that's
exactly.
What. All about.
Well, I definitely enjoyed having you on the show. We've got just putting it out there, we have an anniversary show coming up in January, a 5-year show, so I'm going to have to get you back on for that.
Of course. I'm excited. I thank you for having me on tonight.
No, it's my pleasure. It's been a while since you've been on, and we definitely needed to catch up for sure. And do you have anything you want to plug before we let you go?
Sure. If anybody's in the Ohio, if anybody's in the Ohio area, we're going to be there next weekend with Reap Investigations. We're going to be there with Michelle LeBron, with Amy Green from New Orleans, the Reap Investigation team, Marcy, Tina, all kinds of people up there. It's going down. Bill Reap and his wife, Chris, Kristen Lee, who owns the Bel Air house up there. That's where we're going to be. It's going to be a It's going to be a spiritualist investigation weekend with the Southern Gypsies, and we're actually doing some readings at a local shop Saturday, noon to like 3 or something like that. But it's going to be off the chains up there in Bel Air. It's my first trip up there to visit Kristen and to the Bel Air house. And then the following weekend, Weird Weekends has booked the Southern Gypsies at the Loudon Castle in Ohio. We'll be doing an event up there, doing some readings and things like that. Me, Ashley, and Missy are actually going out to Illinois, to the University of Illinois out there. They want us to come and do some readings for the college students. That's October the 30th. But we have all kinds of stuff going on back at the Nickerson Sneed House because the haunt's been going on. So we've been away traveling a lot. We're bringing it back to the Nickerson Sneed, going to do some gallery readings. We're actually going to be celebrating Yule this year with the public. We did it last year with ourselves, and we're actually just extending that out to the public, and everybody can come and celebrate Yule with us in December. But yeah, a lot of things are going on, even next year starting to book up, and a lot of things going on in the background that we're very grateful for and are excited for next year.
Well, I tell you what, we'd like to get you to come out to the you can see guys to come out to the cabin on 360 here next year and do a Southern Gypsy event out there.
Hell yeah, we're gonna have to get that on the books. By the way, while I was out when I was in Helheim this weekend, there was a group of people there that had come out to the 360 house to do an overnight investigation. And I was like, oh,
oh wow.
Yeah. I was like, well, yeah, I know
they had fun.
Yeah, they did. They talked about hearing a cannon shoot or something like that. It was just a it wasn't a group of investigators, but just, you know, adults that like to go around to all these locations and have fun. But yeah, that was pretty cool. I was like, yeah, it's my ride.
Well, that's really awesome that, you know, we're getting out there and stuff. But yeah, we'll definitely have you out at the cabin, and we'll do something with you guys for sure.
Yeah, we'll have to get that on the books. That way we can get you in there. Because like I said, a lot of things are going on in the background, and a lot of events have already started to book up. So, yeah, we'll get it down. But I really enjoyed being on the show tonight. And I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see RJ. And we'll just have to have a big old family get-together.
Well, no doubt. We'll definitely be getting together sometime next year for sure.
Yep, exactly.
All right, well. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, and we will talk to you soon.
You're welcome. I love you guys, and you have a very wonderful birthday Thursday.
I appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
Bye.